Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we keep it fun on the Midday Show with Rick and John. Hopefully everybody had a great Memorial Day weekend. You had a three-day jaunt to hang with family and friends, cook on the grill, sip on whatever you wanted to sip on, watch some incredible Game 7s in the NBA, Eastern and Western Conference Finals, all kinds of drama with our Braves, and we settle into the Kia Studios. Rick Kamla, John Michaels, we got M.O., short on sleep. We got the Preacher Man as well. He was up late watching the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. What's up, dude? How you doing?
Dude, doing great. Unbelievable weekend. Great Game 7s, as you mentioned. Mark Owens actually didn't sleep. He just came straight from SunTrust Park. That's what the smell is, kind of permeating from the studio behind there. Mark, how long? You got there at 9 a.m. yesterday and left at 1 a.m.?
Hey, Braves fans. Hope Braves having a good time. Wait, the hell am I? I was there for over 16 hours yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah.
They don't let you go home
cha-ching!
Like in a rain delay like
There's
that?
No point. Why? Why go home to
shower?
Yeah. I don't know. I brought my hobo bag. I brought my the TP&A wash while you're there. I had a costume change. I did, like the diva that I am. Mm-hmm. I brought extra undershirts. I brought extra deodorant. I brought extra cologne.
How many sweat rags did you go through yesterday?
Three. But it wasn't hot. It was more rain. Yeah, yes. Rain rags. Say that fast.
Rain rags.
It was, you know what? And I was impressed. I posted a picture on my Twitter account, which I'm not allowed to talk about, but if you search me on Twitter, you can find me. I got the blue check mark. Of the crowd, once the second game got started after a three plus hour delay, still a very healthy crowd hanging out. So kudos to Braves Country for still hanging out and having a good time. And the Braves did the right thing. They said, hey, fans, thanks for sticking around. Move down. Get as close as you want.
That's
as long as somebody's not sitting there, go make yourself comfortable.
Oh, thank you. I thought you were going to say they gave everybody one of those free, awesome, long pieces of pizza that me and John enjoyed so much last weekend. But you got to hook them up somehow, because that game last night was not about the fans in any way, shape, and form. That was about getting in a baseball game.
That was.
All right? So you got to hook them up somehow.
And last night's game was the makeout from the makeout.
The makeout.
Jeez.
You'll hear that.
An early blooper.
Listen, it's going to be that kind of day. I'm going to apologize. That was the makeup from the earlier rain delay with the Mets from earlier in the season. So they did not want to have to make up the makeup date. And looking at the radar, we got a couple more games with the Mets, and it does not look pretty. So let's try to get them in the best we can.
Now, a lot of good stuff over the weekend. Sophia had her 13th birthday party. Like, the birthday was last week, but the party was this. We actually went to one of those escape rooms, and originally I wasn't supposed to go, but a couple of friends didn't show, so we had some extra spaces. So Kane and I tagged along. Dude, those are I made fun of them before. Those are actually pretty darn fun.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
So basically, you go to this place. The one that we went to, I think it's Escape Room Atlanta over there in Norcross. And you go in there, and they literally lock you in a room. They put this thing on the TV that kind of tells you what you're trying to do. And your job is to escape the room. And you have all these different, like, puzzles and combinations, and you're trying to take clues that are in there and figure out how to get out. Let's say we didn't get out. We got all the way to the end, and then and they give you a timer. You get 45 minutes to get it done, or an hour, depending on the location. Ours was 45 minutes, and we're right at the end, and we knew what we needed to do to get out, and we couldn't figure out how to reset these stupid locks. And the lady comes in and goes, literally, this was the last thing. She goes, you unlock these locks, you drop this fishing pole down here, and you pick the key out, and you're out. She goes, you guys were really close, but if it's something, when your boys come, look into it. One of the escape rooms, they will have a blast. So we were in a cabin, and the video they show at the front is this lady basically who's being held captive, and she was like trying to tell you how to get out of the thing. And it's cool.
Nice.
One of the cool parts we had, there was a transistor radio in there. And so originally we turned it on, and I'm like, all right, we'll just put some music on and kind of. You actually needed the transistor radio. You went to one of the FM dials, and it gave you a Morse code, which I don't know how many of you have tried to decode Morse code lately. It's not very easy to do. But as we're scrolling back, because it said go to FM 91, we hit 92.9 The Game, and I was like, hey, it's John Chuckery. I hear him on the weekends.
Nice.
And we listened to John for a few minutes and then flipped it over to the Morse code.
The Preacher Man is with us as well. Preacher Man, the Stanley Cup Finals got underway last night. Unfortunately, I was not able to put my eyes on it. I had a big basketball game to watch. Who won last night?
Oh, that'd be Las Vegas.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it was like a heavyweight fight last night. I watched.
Was it in Vegas or was it in?
No, it was in Vegas. They have home ice. Vegas came out firing. Both teams were solid. The score, like I said, was 6-4. Last goal for Vegas was an empty netter. But they were just trading punches. It was fantastic. I watched the whole first period, then I switched over and watched basketball. And then I was back and forth during commercials, keeping tabs on things.
They said the introduction for Vegas was like literally like a Vegas show.
It was.
To get them on the
it
ice.
It was. It was like the Golden Knight was going up against the Washington Capitol guy, and they had like the whole light show on the ice where it's like he, you know, stabbed his sword into the ice and it like all broke and all this. It was kind of cool. That's what's up.
The sports world never stops. So if you missed anything, Rick and John are here to tell you what's up.
What's up, Holmes?
There's no bad blood between me and the team or anything like that. Just everybody, man, on the outside trying to look in and trying to destroy what we got, what we built there. I love the team. I love the organization. I love everybody there. We good.
The silence has been broken! Julio! Julio's going nowhere. That was TMZ. They caught up with him over the weekend. Julio Jones said he wants to stay in Atlanta forever. You know, you just heard the soundbite there. This was everybody in Atlanta going, all right, we can now move on into the OTAs here in a couple of weeks and not worry about Julio Jones being there. To me, Rick, does that put things to rest, or do you still think there is a little contract negotiation potentially to go on?
Well, I think that Julio wants an updated contract. I think that that is all valid and legit. And I don't know if he's had... Pardon me. I don't know if he's had the appropriate conversations, John, yet with Arthur Blank, Thomas Dimitroff, those types of guys about getting an updated contract.
Mm-hmm.
Our brass said that they were open to the idea of correcting his contract. And I don't know if that was just spin and they actually meant it or they will do it. But I think Julio is legitimately ill at peace with his contract. But I don't believe that he's going to significantly rock the boat.
Right.
I think this right here is as much as the boat will be rocked. Him not being at voluntary OTAs. He'll be at the mandatory minicamp later this month, and we will move on and hopefully get a grandiose season from him. But I do think he wants an updated contract. I think where there's smoke, there's fire with that.
Well, the good thing, though, is that it doesn't sound like it's going to be a holdout scenario. It doesn't sound like, as you just mentioned, a rock-the-boat scenario from Julio Jones. And I think more than anything, it was just good to hear his voice and let him speak about it. We've had so much time to kind of put our own spin on it and put our own thoughts on it, but Julio kind of shut some of that stuff up. Let's give away $1,000 right now.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Object. Object. O-B-J-E-C-T. Object is your code word. You'll text object right now to 72881. Actually, you'll have till 59 past the hour to text object to 72881. Got a sentence for me?
Ronald Acuna was the object of a lot of news.
Yeah.
Over the weekend. I think I meant subject, but object is the
object's
today.
Good.
The best
enough.
I could do.
All right, object, 72881, O-B-J-E-C-T. That's your code word. Let's give away $1,000. We've been giving away a lot of money. Speaking
Acuna lives.
Speaking lives. Of the Braves, yes. Ronald Acuna, he's alive.
Thank God.
Thank goodness. I was at Rick's house, and you hooked up a nice little party scene at the boathouse on Sunday evening, and you saw late the Ronald Acuna jolt, for lack of a better term, running down the first baseline, twisting, contorting, not looking good, trainers around him. Your first reaction was, oh, no, that looks horrible. Well, it's not nearly as horrible as it looked. Sprained the ligaments in the knee, going on the 10-day disabled list, but no serious damage, which is big.
He's walking around good, and I think it's the right move, and just to make sure, because the kid plays full out, and his legs are a big part of his game, and so we'll just, you know, make sure that he's really good before we get him back out there.
It's absolutely ridiculous that Ronald Acuna escaped significant injury here. I would have bet a significant amount of juice boxes that he shredded his knee, like in many spots. That's one of the worst hyperextensions I've ever seen. And for him, you know, and me and John Fricke were talking about this. He's like, how did he escape significant injury? The only answer I have is luck and freak.
Yeah.
He's a freak. He's a freak athlete. He's one of the fastest guys on planet Earth. He's got some of the best bat speed in all of planet Earth. He's a freak.
Mm-hmm.
And he got lucky. And we got lucky. And, John, the most Atlanta thing ever would be the injury gods to send a lightning bolt down on our young star, our, you know, Latin Mike Trout. It'd be the most Atlanta thing ever. But it didn't happen. He escaped significant injury. And I'm trying to scroll through my likes here, but Mark Bowman, Grant McCauley, they were all tweeting yesterday how Ronald Acuna is already feeling better. Here it is, Mark Bowman. Acuna was running around this morning, yesterday morning, and lobbying to play in today's second game, still instead of waiting a couple of days to see how he improves. The Braves took the wise, cautious route and put him on the DL. I originally thought it'd be about 3 weeks on the DL, but hearing that, I think he might be ready to come back when that DL stint is over.
They did split the day-night doubleheader, which was supposedly just going to be a regular doubleheader, and then the rain kind of made it day-night-evening doubleheader. Win the first game, Culberson with a walk-off home run there to beat the Mets, and then they lose last night 8-5 for those that were up, like Mark Owens, until like 1, 1:30 in the morning. Yeah, it was actually this morning. They got finished right as rush hour traffic got underway is what actually happened.
I mean, what a moment for Charlie Culberson, because that was such a frustrating baseball game, man. And John and I at 11:20 are going to ask the question, do the Braves now have an LOB problem, a left-on-base problem? They had a problem with it yesterday. I'll tell you that right now. But I want to go back to Sunday real quick, John, and shout out Mike Foltynewicz and the hitters who took Chris Sale of Boston out of the game. So we boot the first two in Boston. Okay, you come back Sunday and beat Chris Sale?
Yeah.
Bravo, young man. I'm not even mad we lost that series. We beat Sale.
Speaking of Sunday, Cavaliers move on to the NBA Finals. LeBron James for the 8th straight time going to the NBA Finals. I've got a crazy stat that I saw. LeBron James has now been to 9 finals. There's only 2 franchises in the history of the NBA that have been to more finals than LeBron James. That's the Lakers and the Celtics. Put that in context, whether you hate the guy or love the guy. 9 finals, 8 in a row. Him and Jeff Green drug a ragtag group of crap to the finals. And the Celtics, 7-38 from downtown. That'll lose you game 7.
So we're going to talk a lot more about this in about 7 minutes. But to that stat and then the 27 missed threes by Houston last night. Did Boston choke? Mm-mm. Playoff inexperience. You had a bunch of guys out there. They were too high on the mountain, John. The altitude got to them. That's what happened. Houston choked.
Yeah.
Trevor Ariza has a ring, if not rings. He got at least one with L.A., I think maybe 2. He did not make a 3 last night. James Harden, boo, shrinkage again in a big game. John, he officially has the Romo gene. The jury is backed with a verdict, and he is fully guilty of having the Romo gene. How do you miss 27 consecutive three-pointers in a game?
I have no idea.
Unconscionable. I've never seen it before. That's a choky bunch of players in Houston.
Got to give credit, though, to the Warriors. 2 games in a row.
Yep.
Third quarter, they just come out like gangbusters. And it's almost like when that team finally gets pushed, they push back. They're still the best team in the NBA. They're going to win the finals again. Cleveland maybe gets a game, and we'll talk about that at length throughout the show. Real quick, shout-out, University of Georgia college baseball team. They're in the college baseball tournament. They're the number 8 overall seed. Rick, the way that this works, they will have a regional, 4 teams in the regional, double elimination. If you win that, you move on the following weekend to what's called the super regional. You will play a winner of another bracket. It's best 2 out of 3. Win that, then you go to Omaha with the College World Series.
Can we watch the Diamond Dogs on SEC Network?
You probably can see it on ESPN.
All right.
Because they will have games all over the place.
I will be watching.
This coming up weekend. We take a break. We come back. I want to get into this with you guys. 404-741-0929. State of the NBA. Is it in a good place, or is it horrible that we're seeing the same 2 teams for the 4th year in a row? We talk about that next on Sports Radio 92.9. The Game.
If we lock in, we show how great we are. And the second half was unbelievable. This atmosphere was crazy. Game 7, man. Happy to be back in the finals.
Our talent took over. I mean, it's as simple as that. We've got 3 of the best shot makers in the league. They all got hot at different points in the second half, made great plays. We did a great job defensively, too, in the second half. You know, we stayed with it.
And Houston missed 27 straight threes. That was Steve Kerr, head coach of the Golden State Warriors. He is about 2 weeks away from getting ring number 3 as a head coach. That's the way it's going down. The NBA is rather predictable, and thus we get Cleveland and Golden State for the 4th consecutive year in the finals. We have seen predictability in the NBA, though, over the decades, okay? I would say that, John, over my 48 years and probably 37 or 36 of them, like, really watching the NBA and knowing what was up. The NBA has been more predictable than unpredictable. Actually, it's been way more predictable than unpredictable. But John asked the question, is a fourth straight trip for Golden State and a fourth straight trip for Cleveland in the NBA Finals good for the NBA? You know, we'll flesh this out over the 4 hours. The answer for me is yes and no. It's both. It's good from a rating standpoint and a Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp and Max Kellerman and Stephen A. Smith because you have LeBron in it.
Sure.
And he's the move-the-needle guy.
Absolutely.
But in terms of a little variety, a little diversity, you know, maybe there's a little numbness with some of us that you've just got the same thing. And we've just watched the same show over and over and over. I'm not rooting against Cleveland necessarily or Golden State, but it would have been nice to have like one different team in this finals.
Yeah, I agree. And to me, there is a downturn. How many teams were trying to openly tank this year? And I know nobody will say that.
Seven.
There were seven teams.
Like seven teams tried not to win this year,
exactly.
John.
So you had seven teams openly trying not to win. Then you had other teams that realized later in the season that, okay, we're not making the playoffs. The regular season, you had Golden State for stretches not give a damn. They didn't care about being the number one seed because they knew in a game seven on somebody else's home floor, they could win. So they didn't care. So you have the regular season devalued. You had all of the drama that happened in Cleveland, them trading guys, Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder not fitting, Rodney Hood being brought over to be another scorer. Now all of a sudden he's buried completely on the bench. All of that happens, and yet they still make the finals. So for me, it's more no than yes. And again, I'm not mad at Cleveland, and I'm not mad at Golden State. They're the two best teams in each conference. It probably plays out different if Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward are healthy the entire year. Boston may win Game 7 on their home floor. If Chris Paul's healthy, you know, Houston may win. But I'm not guaranteeing that they're going to win that series because they had five straight games, only two of them without Chris Paul, where they didn't score 100 points. So their offense had already shriveled up quite a bit from what they had been in the regular season. To me, it becomes sensory overload with these same two teams. Because I know while the ratings will be good because it's LeBron again in the finals and it's Golden State really trying to cement themselves as a dynasty, there are going to be the fans that go, dude, I have seen this story four times in a row. I don't want to see it again.
I mean, it's absolutely amazing that LeBron James helped to lead Miami to four consecutive finals and then goes to Cleveland and has led Cleveland to four consecutive finals. Eight straight trips to the finals. Yes, it is mind-boggling. Yes, it is an amazing achievement, but it's also a notable statistic. He's 3-4 in the previous seven trips to the finals. He's going to be 3-5.
Well, he's 3-5 because, remember, he went in 07.
Right, no, but I'm just talking in the eight in a row here. But, John, you're right. Back in 07, he loses. But in this eight straight, it's going to end up being 3-5. And I'm not going to hold that against LeBron James. I'm not. He's playing against a better team. This Golden State team is better, okay? Cleveland was lucky to get one a couple of years ago. You got Draymond with the shot on LeBron and the suspension. Bogut gets hurt, right? Like, stuff happened for Cleveland to get that one. But Golden State is going to win this championship. And, John, if I don't think we'd be having this conversation if, like, Cleveland had a legitimate big three. If Kyrie were still there with Love and LeBron, and it was like, game on, here we go. It is going to be a clash of the Titans for all the marbles, all cliches in play. This ragtag Cleveland team was very fortunate to get out of the East. And to your point, if Hayward or Irving are healthy for that basketball game, Cleveland probably gets beat by 10.
Cleveland probably doesn't make game seven if either one of those guys are healthy. More Kyrie than Gordon Hayward. Mm-hmm. And Hayward's a really good player, but he's not Kyrie Irving. Here's the other thing where I say it's not good for the league. And I go back to LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh when they decided to manufacture a big three. I don't want to hear about, you know, the Lakers trading for Shaquille O'Neal. That's moving assets to get somebody. I don't want to hear about Boston making moves to go get Ray Allen and go get Kevin Garnett because they traded assets to go get those guys. When LeBron, D. Wade, and Chris Bosh manufactured their big three and they go to four straight NBA finals, it changed the dynamic of the way the league was brought about. Because now you see Kevin Durant, after being down up 3-1 on Golden State, decide, hey, I'm going to go play with these guys. There's nothing wrong with it. It's free agency. You're allowed to do that. But you've made these super teams where at minimum 10 teams in the league don't even care on a year-in and year-out basis. the rest of them, you know, Houston made their moves. They legitimately can contend. Boston can legitimately contend. But that was it. There was nobody else that was going to beat any one of these two teams the way that they're currently constructed. And I don't think that's good for competitive balance. We look at the NFL, what do we love? 5 out of 12 every year don't make the playoffs that made it the year previous. Outside of New England's dynasty, you've had different teams come and go and be good for a year or two. And I like that because every franchise knows a year or two from now you can be right back in it. Baseball, you just had the Astros win. You haven't had the Yankees win in, what, 6 or 7, 8 years now? When's the last time the Red Sox won? So the big market teams don't automatically dominate. But in the NBA right now, it's been Warriors and it's Cavs. And the Warriors, as long as they keep Kevin Durant, they're going to be in the finals for years to come.
The NBA over the decades has had a relative lack of competitive balance. Think about the Jordan era. I mean, they win 6 out of 8. If Jordan doesn't dip, they probably win 8 out of 8.
Right.
Russell ripped off, what was it, 11 out of 13 with the Celtics. Kobe and Shaq had the league on lock for 3 years.
Spurs win 5 championships.
But, I mean, it was spread over and chopped up. But nevertheless, they extended sort of a New England Patriots reign of championships on the league. It's just the way the NBA is. And we can complain about it and not like it, but nothing's going to change. And I don't – it's about the cream rising to the top. It's really a lot like college football, John. How just it is so concentrated at the top with the championship-worthy teams. And then you draw a line. Like Tier 2, I don't think Penn State or Oklahoma or Michigan State or Wisconsin are winning it all in college football. All the teams I got in our draft last week, I had to take them because, you know, it was a draft. I don't think Ohio State's winning the college football championship this year. I think like 2 or 3 teams could win it. So in that way, it's a lot like the NBA. And we complain about that in college football as well, that the 17th ranked team coming into the preseason really has no shot, right? And if you're predicted to be the 5th best team in the East preseason, you got no shot at winning at all.
There are times, though, because Georgia last year, where were they preseason ranked, 15, 14? And they made it to the championship and had a legit shot to win it.
Didn't win it, though.
But they were there. The difference was the 10th best team in the NBA had no shot of making it this year. Heck, the number one seed in the East had no shot of making it this year. Toronto, they were number one, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, they had zero chance of making the NBA Finals. Speaking of Kevin Durant, a guy that is now trying to win back-to-back championships, here he is.
We play kind of free and random, and sometimes that looks a little erratic. But, you know, once we lock in and focus on the defensive side of the ball, we turned it around. We hit some huge shots. Steph was incredible in the third for us and bringing us back and getting us a nice lead, and we just tried to build off what he kind of started for us. So everybody came to play tonight. It was a hostile environment. Number of respect for the Houston Rockets, but we're glad we're moving on.
Man, disappointed. I heard that soundbite last night. I'm hearing it again, and I just want a little bit different answer. I want Kevin Durant to work in there. Man, and they missed lots of shots. I just want one guy to acknowledge. John, look, there was defense being played. There were also lots of uncontested How do you shoot with one arm wrapped around your throat, John Michaels? 27 missed threes? That's like more complainable than the lack of competitive balance for me right now.
How about Mike D'Antoni make an adjustment for once in your life?
To what?
To the basket.
To what?
Stop jacking threes. Once about 10 in a row don't go down. All right, let's get to the bucket
Did you hear James Harden after the game? He said, that's what we do. Man. We were just going to keep shooting and shooting and shooting. 27 blanks in a row.
We missed a few layups. I didn't hear anybody say, quit settling for layups, take threes. So it's just the way we play, and we didn't have it. And you know what? Again, I just look at the fight and the hustle and what they mean as people. And like I said, I couldn't be prouder.
Is he frigging kidding me?
This guy.
Is he kidding me?
Even my wife.
That's Andy Reid. That's your boy, Andy Reid.
My wife knows that much about basketball. She looks at me and goes, why does Golden State coach seem so much more calm than the guy for Houston? I said, because the guy for Houston's an idiot.
He's the Coach Cal also.
He's fidgety.
He's fidgety. He's nervous. He starts to unravel. Anytime there's a bad call against him, he freaks out. It's kind of funny. It's good theater. But when a guy like D'Antoni starts talking about how good a people his players are, it's like saying, I got a date for you. She's got a great personality.
She's awesome. Give personality. She's middle management. Hey, Five Stripe supporters, join Sports Radio 92.9 The Game tomorrow. God, tomorrow's already Wednesday. 7 o'clock, Big Tex downtown Decatur to see Atlanta United take on New England Revolution, plus a chance to win Atlanta United gear and prizes. We'll get back to this conversation at 11, but MO coming back with Read Between the Lines.
So as you know, Acuna is out. Julio is all in, and it's the MMA fight that nobody wants to see, but it's coming back. Talk about that more in Read Between the Lines next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Rick and John back at IKEA Studios. Hey, Hawks critics, did you hear Marv Albert on TNT last night refer to Joe Johnson as ISO Joe when he came into the game? And you know who needs a hug this morning? Trevor Ariza, 0-for-12 in Game 7. One of the most infamous clutch game performances ever.
3-2-1. Cancun. Bye-bye, Rockets.
Oh, my.
Choked another one away, just like last year. Mark Owens, you're wide awake right now.
You're right, Mike Bell. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it.
Ah.
So, all of
gondola still.
Braves country. Big sigh of relief after seeing Acuna. There it is. Ronald Acuna Jr., his injury versus the Cubs, and it was announced that his MRI revealed a mild, that is the best word you could see right there,
yep.
A mild ACL sprain, a left knee contusion. Now, the rumor is, with him being put on the DL, the earliest that he could return to the lineup could be when the Braves head out to Los Angeles to take on the Dodgers on June the 8th. So the actual math, Grant McCauley actually tweeted this out, would be on June the 7th. That would be the 10-day DL. But they don't play on the 7th. So they play on the 8th, 9th, and 10th out in L.A. So you could see him back by that series, which is huge news. Well, here's Brian Snicker talking about Ronald Acuna.
I thought his season was over when it happened and when I went out there. Now it's very optimistic. He was walking around good, and I think it's the right move, and just to make sure, because the kid plays full out, and his legs are a big part of his game. And so we'll just, you know, make sure that he's really good before we get him back out there.
The difference is, had that happened to any of us, I'd tap out. That's my career. I'm done. That's what happens when you're 20 years old.
Let's be real. I have torn stuff getting out of the chair here. So,
but to your point, any of us, that's a shredded wheat knee, okay? That's several ligaments, maybe like a chip bone or something.
That's a bacchiotomy.
To normal athletes, that's a popped ACL. But Acuna's a freak and lucky, and that's why he lived to tell another day through this. And did you hear what Snicker said right there? His legs are a big part of his game. Mm-hmm. I don't want Acuna back at 80%. I want him back at 100%. When he can fly in the gaps and fly around the base paths, and I think MO putting him on the DL is going to make sure that happens.
Is there also a little bit of youth to blame in this? Because I heard a good argument in the bullpen here a little bit earlier this morning saying one of the big reasons that he popped his knee is that he's running and he's turning to see what the play call was. Should he have run it out?
Yes.
Just keep running?
Not wise.
Yeah. To learn just to keep going.
It's a lesson that a young athlete, a young buck, has to learn in this big, dangerous world.
All right, big news going around this weekend. TMZ caught up with Julio Jones. Here it is in full, him talking about how he wants to be a Falcon for life.
You're going to be in Atlanta forever.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, we're good.
We're talking today. We're good.
You're working it out, the contract negotiations.
Well, it's not even about that. You know, no. Everybody want a story right now. There's no story to be told, you know what I mean? I'm just working. I'm getting myself better. I'm just working on myself right now. That's all it is. There's no bad blood between me and the team or anything like that. Just everybody, man, on the outside trying to look in and trying to destroy what we got, what we built there. I love the team. I love the organization. I love everybody there. We're good.
You love to hear that from Julio Jones. Loves everybody, loves the team, loves the organization, wants to be here for life. That kind of echoes the sentiments that Arthur Blank said a couple of weeks ago. We want Julio here for life. He's not going anywhere. Just get me to the preseason. I'm just ready to be done with speculatory season. I like when guys are out there running around and banging heads. That's what I want to see.
So you got to love the guys and girls with TMZ. Most of them, they're following, rock stars and movie stars and baseball players and athletes. But they really don't know the whole story most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear the guy right there? How are the contract negotiations going? What?
Right.
There's no contract negotiations. No. He sent out a couple of flares about wanting a contract corrected. And the guy, so anyway, I just thought that was kind of funny. But then, MO, Julio said after that kind of silly question, it's not about that.
Right.
Which means they aren't negotiating anything, okay? And by the way, the whole thing about I'm working on myself, I'd rather he worked on vibing with Matt Ryan. That's just me. I'll back away from the microphone now.
Well, the TMZ school of interviewing is you catch up with celebrities, shove the phone in their face, ask them a question, talk over their answer to ask another irrelevant question.
Well, that's also a lot of the media in this town in the locker room, but that's neither here nor there.
More from Julio talking about the addition of Calvin Ridley.
Very excited. So much I can teach him. He's a raw talent, very talented guy. But coming to the next level, it's always good to have an older head guy in there to help you. And he's built by Alabama, went to Alabama, man. Everything
roll
about
tide.
Him. Roll Tide. Roll Tide.
Oh, my God.
Come with it.
That drives me crazy. Oh, I could be a big help. Then be a big help to the guy.
He will be.
Stop it. That's, that one gets my blood boiling a little bit right there. It really does. Oh, and by the way, did he call Calvin Ridley a raw talent? Is that what I heard? Top of the interview?
Might have.
Very excited. So much I can teach him. He's a raw talent.
Oh, my God.
Raw talent.
I'm out of here. Are you kidding me? I'm not going to say another word. I absolutely hate that soundbite. I'm not going to say another word.
It's going to help his dude. We'll be all right.
Let's flashback to 14 years ago. Where were you in 2004? 2004?
Here.
Yeah.
Just started
the game.
No. This was Dave FM back then. I think.
I had just.
Let's see. What month is this? I had not started radio yet. I started in July of 2004.
All right.
So I was working at the old GM plant.
You were selling miserable. Meat out of the back of the truck.
Dude, I was a logistics manager at the GM plant. Oh, it was a horrible day. Horrible life.
Year two at NBA TV up in Secaucus in 2004.
Preacher man, still cracking skulls at the nudie bar?
No, I was in Nash Vegas producing my own morning show.
Uh-huh.
2004, Shrek 2 and Meet the Fockers. They ruled the...
What'd you say?
Meet the Fockers. Oh. Hey, listen, I ain't that tired. And the original CSI was the biggest show on TV. What else happened in 2004? The very first fight between Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz. They fought twice now. Chuck Liddell has won twice. And apparently nobody asked for it, but they're going to fight again.
Why? Hadn't Chuck Liddell been, like, knocked unconscious the last three or four times he walked in the ring?
Their first fight was UFC 47. In 2004, Liddell won by a knockout. Second, 2006, Liddell won again by TKO. And now apparently because they need money, let's be honest, they're going to fight again. TMZ.
How old are these guys?
Yes. 70?
Here's Liddell talking about his game plan.
I'm going to fight him, and I'm going to knock his head off.
It's already up 2-1. This is basically going to be like...
It'd be 3-0 when it's all over with. I mean, yeah, it's going to be 3-0.
And what's, do you have any new tactics going into the fight with him, or just...
Punch him in the head a lot.
You know what this is?
Wow.
You can't argue that Liddell and Tito Ortiz are UFC legends.
Oh, they of course
they are. MMA legends. Absolutely. They helped build the sport in 2004. This would be like Flair and Hogan getting in the ring now. Back in the day, that was awesome. Flair and Hogan was – I don't want to see Flair and Hogan fight in 2018. Yeah, that would be sad.
They called that TNA in 2016.
It would be a money grab. Does anybody care about Ortiz and Liddell?
No. I don't want to see one of those dudes, like, legit. I'm nervous that somebody's going to be seriously hurt or die. Like, that scares me. Chuck Liddell, the last few times he was in the ring, got knocked out. You can hear in that soundbite, you know, the faculties are not as sharp as they once were.
91 combined years between the two. Chuck Liddell is my age, 48, and Tito Ortiz is 43. The funniest thing about that whole thing was, despite the fact that nobody wants to see it, they're coming back for.
Well, you know, I know UFC purists and MMA fans are going to come at us and say, like, no, it's going to be a great fight. Those two got a great feud. In 2004. This just seems like a money grab.
Why don't we have Fedor, what is his name, Emelianenko, come back as well? Didn't he just fight before?
By the way, I told you.
What's that?
I told you that Rick Hamladay musically would bring us a couple of bumpers that Mark Owens used in the future.
Okay. Beastie Boys.
Oh, there you go.
Didn't I say that?
Hey, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Grady Jarrett present the 5th Annual 92.9 The Game Celebrity Golf Classic. Wednesday, June 6th, Topgolf Midtown. That's right, we're switching it up a little bit this year. We can play in the rain. We can do whatever you want. Big celebrities. Big, big celebrities coming in. Grady Jarrett, Brian Jordan, Vic Beasley, Muhammad Sanu. How about Tack McKinley? Does that tickle your fancy? Sean Weatherspoon, Takeo Spikes, Harry Douglas, Ray Lewis, Dave Archer, and many more. Make sure you sign up today. Spots are very limited. Go to the event page at 92.9thegame.com to register. I'm going to break down how many different champions there's been. NBA, NFL, and others. Let's just say the NBA's got a problem. That's next.
The bunker mentality.
I like when guys are out there running around and banging heads. That's what I want to see.
It's 11 a.m. in the ATL, and you're listening to Rick and John on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to the Kia Studios, your boys Rick and John throwing our midday party here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, home of the Falcons, Hawks, and Atlanta United. And tomorrow night's game against Philadelphia will be heard right here. Pregame at 6:30 and the kickoff at 7 from Philadelphia as our Atlanta United get back on the pitch and hopefully back in the winner's circle. Now we're talking basketball. The finals are set. They begin Thursday on ABC, 8:30, 9 o'clock, somewhere in there. Obviously, wall-to-wall coverage on NBA TV, and we will cover it here on our show. John and Hugh, Dukes and Bell, all the shows here. It's obviously a huge, huge event. Mm-hmm. Now, John is going to try to convince me that the Warriors and Cavaliers being in the finals for the fourth consecutive year is bad for the NBA. John, hit me.
I'm not going to convince you that it's bad. What I'm going to convince you is that the NBA has had a parity problem or a dominant team problem for a long time. It's not something this year. We've actually cooked up a Vision Computers Twitter poll. Vision Computers, where if you need help with tech support, less than 15 seconds away. M.O. On our Twitter machine.
At Rick and John 929. At Rick and John 929. Give us a follow. So the question for today is Cavs Warriors round four. You are, and you have three options today. You are all in. Love it.
Me.
Can't wait.
Me.
I'm in.
Yep. That's 15% of the votes right now.
15?
Yep. That's it?
You are.
Killing me.
Nah, but I'll watch. But you got to do it like that. You got to go, eh.
Like a meh.
So that's, eh.
Like one of those two.
But I'll watch.
But I'll watch it. That's lead. No, that's not leading. That's second place, 31%. And the winner right now is, not again, I'm out.
Whoa. Really? What's the percentage on that?
54%.
Are you
kidding? Early. Now it's early. We only have a handful of votes. So go vote at Rick and John 929.
That's going to even out.
Here's my thing. When it comes to championships, I mean, I hated the Eagles and the Patriots, but I'm all in. It's the Super Bowl. I'm watching.
Mm-hmm.
It's the NBA Finals. It's still two. Well, it's one great team and one team in Cleveland, but still LeBron James.
One great player, one great team,
yeah,
right?
And of course I'm going to watch. It could have been the Raptors, and I'm trying to think of another who's a nondescript Western Conference team? And
the Blazers.
Nuggets. Yeah, the Raptors and the Blazers. Guess what?
Whew.
I would have been, that would have been awful.
Woo! Would have been good basketball, but, you know, evenly matched teams, but if for a hoop head like me, but whoo! You think anybody in Peoria or Kalamazoo or...
You think anybody in Los Angeles,
you know, San Jose wants to watch that? Nah.
Probably not. So I decided just to go back. We were having the conversation a couple of segments ago about basketball and, you know, is this good or bad for the league? Having a very top-heavy, you know, predictable league, to say the least, because the last 4 years it's been predictable that the Cavs and the Warriors were going to make the NBA Finals, and they have done so each year. So I went back to 1980, and the reason I picked 80 was that was the time as a youth I really could start remembering sports. I don't remember the 70s. I was a kid then, like young kid. Since 1980, the NBA has had 10 different NBA champions. That's it. Only two of them are one-off champions, and that's the Mavericks in 2011 and the 76ers in 1983. Everybody else has won multiple championships. Celtics, Lakers, Spurs, Bulls, Heat, Warriors, Pistons, Rockets. Those are all multiple-time winners. Everybody else has been a one-off. So 10 champions in 37, soon to be 38 seasons, because it'll be one of the you know what? I'm sorry, 11, because I forgot the Cavs. Cavs did win one. With LeBron.
I like that you omitted the Cavs. I've been mistaken.
Cleveland usually sucks, so I
take
forgot
that,
all about
Cleveland.
Them. But yes. So 11.
You're making
NBA
headlines
champions.
In Cleveland right now.
That's fine. Go to the NFL. How many different teams do you think have won a Super Bowl since 1980 in the NFL?
Oh, I don't know. More than half the league.
You would be correct. 18 different NFL franchises have won a Super Bowl. 18. And a lot of them are one-offs. The Ravens, the Saints, the Ravens have won twice. Saints, the Buccaneers, the Seahawks were one-off. You know, the Bears one-time champions, the Colts one-time champions. Point being, you've had a lot of different teams win championships in the NFL, 18 to 11. More parity in the NFL. How many different baseball teams do you think have won a World Series since 1980?
I'll say more than half the league.
21 different franchises have won a World Series championship since 1980. So way more than half. And the baseball has, what, 30 teams? So you're talking about only 9 franchises and haven't won a World Series since 1980. And go to college football, where parity right now doesn't seem to exist. It's Alabama, Clemson, Georgia trying to knock on that door, and seemingly everybody else. How many different college football teams have won a national championship since 1980?
14.
21 different teams have won a national championship. So more parity than you may think, although the last 15 to 17 years have pretty much been the same four or five teams year in and year out. Point being, the NBA has had this issue really for as long as they've been around. Because if you can get the right mix of a player or two and a dominant guy at that, you're going to win not only one, but a lot of times multiple championships.
So, John, you have given us a lot to chew on here.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, some percentages. 11 teams in the NBA out of 30 since 1980, that's 36%.
Okay.
The NFL, 18 out of 32, 56%.
Mm-hmm.
Major League Baseball, 21 teams have won it out of 30, that's 70%. So, first of all, we agree that baseball is just way more unpredictable as a sport.
Yep.
Than basketball and even football. Let's take it then down to football versus basketball. You got 22 cats on the field at all times. You got 10 in an NBA game.
Right.
I think that leads to more unpredictability. Mm-hmm. And obviously, the collective bargaining agreement, salary
sure.
cap setup, the whole thing, it just leads to parity in the NFL. They have created a system, as mm-hmm. you know, John, to bring parity out.
Absolutely.
And have the Arizona Cardinals make the Super Bowl. Have the Carolina Panthers make the Super Bowl. Stuff the Falcons make the Super Bowl. Stuff like that. The NBA, they don't care about parity.
No.
Because, and by the way, they tried to create a parity situation with the last collective bargaining agreement. Mm-hmm. Remember? It was a system that helped the lower or middle market teams.
Right.
That's the way, that's what they wanted to do. That was the intent of it. It hasn't worked. Because the cream rises to the top. Teams are still going to spend lavishly for the sake of winning and go over the cap and all that. You've got a Durant going from OKC to Golden State. You can't foresee that when you're cooking up a collective bargaining agreement. That has totally shifted the balance of power, right, to one team. And now we have a dynasty because of it. So, but, John, you said, you know, the NBA has a problem. The NBA has an issue. In terms of non-parity, mm-hmm. in terms of competitive balance, you're right. But the NBA doesn't care about that stuff, I don't think, as much as they care about, John, these numbers right here. September 2017, the Rockets were sold for $2.2 billion. Dollars. Check. The new television deal that was announced in October of 2014, new TV deal, runs through 2025. It's a nine-year deal worth $24 billion. Yeah. $2.6 billion a year. I thought I had another stat, but I didn't. But that is what this is about. The NBA is a business.
Mm-hmm.
They want to make money for the NBA. They want all of their owners to make the money, and then it trickles down to the players. And as John's always talking about, this guy makes too much, this guy makes too much, this guy makes too much. That's what it's all about, man. Money drives it. Ratings drive it. Oh, and last year, this was the other stat I had. Last year, the 2017 NBA Finals, 4-1 Golden State over Cleveland. It was an I finals, right? Not great.
No.
It was okay. It was the highest rated NBA final since 1998 when Michael Jordan won his final NBA championship. So from a competitive balance standpoint, I'm totally listening to you. But the NBA is like, 2.2 bill, 24 bill, best rating since 98. We good.
But I'm asking from a fan perspective, does this get old? Is this something? Because you and I are different. I'm going to be watching every second of every game of the NBA Finals, whether it's four or seven games. And again, I would have watched it if it was Raptors, Blazers. It could have been Grizzlies.
You would have complained about it.
I would have. It could have been Grizzlies and Nets, and I still would have watched the NBA Finals. That's just how it goes. That would be horrible.
Ew.
I mean, think back in the early 2000s when the Nets were in the finals. It was dreadful.
John brought up a Grizzlies-Nets finals. Like, everybody in their car is like,
I'd rather watch I'd rather watch Warriors-Cavs 10 more times than watch Grizzlies and Nets. Point being, guys like you and I are going to watch. But I think there is it's a worn-out factor. We always talk about the SEC factor when it comes to college football, and I think people get sick of it that don't live in this footprint. Like us down here, we go, all right, SEC, ACC, they can play as much as we want. That's our kind of football. The Pac-12 area, they go, dude, I don't want to see Bama again. I see him every year. Well, if you can't
get better.
Yeah, get better. Get a better coach. Win. Recruit dirtier. Do whatever you need to do to be better than Alabama. Point being, there are people out there that go, dude, I am just sick and tired of seeing these. I'm tired of watching LeBron James in the finals with the same tired Michael Jordan narrative that's going to be played out for the next 2.5 weeks.
And I don't disagree. I don't, John. I would have rather had a fresher face on the east side mm-hmm. and maybe a fresher face on the west side. Sorry, that's just unrealistic in fantasy land to even think about it. There was nobody in the west better than Golden State. Houston was real close. With Paul, they were even closer, mm-hmm. but I think still the shrinkage of the Romo gene. And last night I put out a tweet. Tony Romo has entered the building.
Yep.
And I think at that point, the Rockets had missed 20 straight threes or whatever it was and ended up being 27. I have the solution to the issue that you're bringing up here, John.
Okay.
LeBron James leaves Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
That's the solution.
But goes where?
Okay, good point. Because Boston is winning the East next year. You heard it. The 2018 finals haven't even begun.
Mm-hmm.
The Celtics just lost Game 7 2 days ago. I'm calling my shot. They're winning the East. And I'm not. This isn't bold at all. Like, everybody knows Boston's winning the East next year. You've got this amazing young infrastructure. You're going to drop, boo, Gordon Hayward, boo, Kyrie Irving right back in the attack. You got Brad Stevens, the whole thing. They're going to be great. So LeBron James ain't winning the East, even if he stays at Cleveland, which is a reason why he would leave. Now, making the finals again is also maybe a little bit of a reason to stay.
Mm-hmm.
But, John, what if he goes to Houston, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Knicks, the Sixers? What if he goes to one of those teams? And if he goes to Houston, now Boston's winning the East. Houston is now going to stare down Golden State, eye for eye in a death match, right? If you have LeBron and Paul and Harden.
Well, Paul's a free agent, so you're going to have to be really creative money-wise mm-hmm. to be able to make that happen.
And again, I don't know how that happens, but we've heard the rumors, LeBron to Houston, LeBron to Houston. Mm-hmm. I think at one point he said he might be open to that. I'm not sure. But the rumors are out there. I'm not sure how the money works. But if LeBron goes to Houston, does that and LeBron leaves the East,
mm-hmm.
Boston now is guaranteed of winning the East, so we get new blood there. And if LeBron goes to Houston, then Golden State will actually have a totally formidable opponent
mm-hmm.
Standing between them and the finals. I think that's the solution. LeBron James leaves Cleveland, and we get closer to that parity you're talking about.
If you're watching us on watch929thegame.com, you're probably wondering, like, no, I'm not having acid reflux right now. I'm looking at the breakdown of the Cleveland Cavaliers' salary going forward. That bum George Hill's got 19 and 18 million still left on his contract the next 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me?
That's your guy.
He's horrible.
You love what? Tell him about J.R. Smith.
I'll get to that after we give away $1,000.
Money!
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
teeth. T-E-E-T-H. Text teeth right now to 72881 as we all point to Mark Owens. He has the most expensive teeth in media in Atlanta.
And did you see the cheesy grin right
here?
Oh,
yeah. He just shows them off.
Cheesy.
Yeah.
But that's not the word. But the word is teeth.
And they're not colored cheesy.
Take care of your teeth.
They are pearly white, but you need to text teeth right now to 72881. It's your chance to win $1,000. $1,000 would have gotten Mark Owens one quarter of a tooth that's in his mouth right now.
That would have gotten one of the screws for the implants. That's about it. But I own 90% of my grill, so
nice.
Little victories.
Okay, you're getting there. You're getting there. J.R. Smith, $1,000 to him is vodka money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, tell him why.
Well, because J.R. Smith is owed $14.7 million next year, then $15.6 million. He's actually making less than George Hill. Here's what's interesting with Cleveland moving forward. Kevin Love's getting 24.
I can't believe anybody gave George Hill. I think Sacramento gave him that terrible contract.
Then Kevin Love's getting 24 and $25 million over the next year. Tristan Thompson, 17, then $18 million. So to entice LeBron to stay, GM LeBron is going to have to become very creative to get rid of some of the trash that's on his team.
And I know Khloe Kardashian is a millionaire mm-hmm. all by herself,
mm-hmm.
but she ain't bringing in $17 million next year and $18 million the year after that. So if the cynics out there want to kind of sort of wonder why she's hanging around with Tristan, who mm-hmm. Very publicly is a serial cheater,
yeah,
that's why.
So we go back to this conversation. You guys can chime in. 404-741-0929. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You could tweet the show or the station at Rick and John 929, at 929 The Game. Or you could tweet me personally at John Michaels 929. Is this good for basketball or bad for basketball? And I think I'm more with you, Rick. It's good and it's bad. Would I have wanted to see Boston and the Warriors more than Cleveland and the Warriors? No. If Boston,
I would have.
If Boston was 100% whole, yes.
No, I'm telling you right now, this Boston team with six really good players would have won two games against Golden State.
Maybe.
I think they – maybe. I mean, but I think I would project them as more competitive with Golden State than Cleveland. I think Golden State's going to run Cleveland.
I do too.
I really do. I mean, how much is LeBron going to have left in the tank? And even if he goes 37, 11, and 11, I mean, that's not nearly enough to beat Golden State.
My strategy, if I'm playing against Cleveland, is fine. All right, I'm guarding one-on-one against LeBron, and nobody else is. I'm just closing out on all the rest of these guys. If LeBron goes for 50, so be it. They're going to score 85 points, and they're not going to win. And that's the simplest strategy I would go for in that.
So in terms of this being, you know, good or bad for the NBA, I will say this. I would have, like, let's say Houston wins last night, and you get Houston and Cleveland. That'd be a hell of a series, right? Houston and Cleveland would go 6 or 7 games and be really good.
I think Cleveland would have won that series.
I do, too. And I put out a tweet last night. Who do you think LeBron is cheering for right now? It was like 90%, you know,
Rockets
and 10% Warriors. Because we all know what's up. And that's to John's point. We already know what's up. Mm-hmm. We know who's going to win the NBA Finals. And if for that reason, it's a little disappointing to me. To your point, I'm going to watch every second of every game. I'm going to be doing the NBA Finals film room for NBA TV. So the night of the game, you watch the game on ABC. The next night, we run the Finals film room where me and Fratello and David Griffin and guys like that put a live call on the game. I mean, I'm excited about it, dude, but we know who's going
to
win.
And to spin this to Atlanta, this is why the Hawks did a master reset. They weren't going to win with the group they had attached before with Millsap and Horford and all of these guys. They had to start over, and they have to find that superstar that becomes the next LeBron or Steph or KD. We take a break. We come back. It's our Braves breakdown next. The Braves get really, really lucky. We'll break down why next on Sports Radio 92.9.
1-2 pitch. High fly ball. Hit deep toward left center. At the track. At the wall. Charlie walks us off again.
Chip Carey on Fox Sports Southeast. I was watching live yesterday as Charlie Culberson yanked that one for a walk-off home run. And what a feel-good win that was. Coming off the win Sunday in Boston where we beat Chris Sale. And knowing you've got one more coming up, and usually doubleheaders are split, at least that's how it feels, but it was great to get that win. Kind of put you in a greedy scenario going into the nightcap, which, of course, we lost. But as the dust settles, we are still in first place in the National League East. And to John's point about our Braves getting lucky, maybe, John, just maybe, our luck is turning. Mm-hmm. Because it would have been the most Atlanta thing ever. For our young star, Ronald Acuna Jr., the Latin Mike Trout, to blow out his knee.
Right.
Would have been the most Atlanta thing ever. But it didn't happen. And maybe our luck is starting to turn a little bit here, dude. You know, I feel like our Falcons are doing it right on the precipice of a championship. You've got the Hawks getting some good fortune, moving up to 3 in the NBA draft lottery. There's a lot of good stuff. Georgia, obviously. I just feel like the luck is starting to turn. It's got to start somewhere, John, up in Philadelphia. Their luck needed to turn, and it did. Up in Cleveland, their luck needed to turn, and it did. With the Cavs, maybe it's our turn, dude. But this, to me, is kind of a sign that maybe it is our turn. The fact that Acuna didn't suffer a 2018 season baseball death yesterday.
Yeah, and that could have been very easily another quarter of an inch, another half an inch. Something is completely gone, and he tears a knee, and you're looking at a year replacement and, you know, all of that good stuff. The good thing now is you're talking about 10 days. You're talking about early June, potentially, that Ronald Acuna will come back. If I'm the Braves, take your time. You're still right there at the top of the division. You're still one of the best teams in baseball. No need to rush Acuna back. I think the toughest thing they're going to have to deal with right now is slowing Ronald Acuna down. Because think about when you were 20. You'd tweak something, you'd be like, all right, yep, I can play. And you're going to be back out there a day or two later. And I think that's part of why they put him on the disabled list. It's a stopper from giving a chance to go out and play.
It's a great call. I agree. Because he was already kind of lobbying to play per Mark Bowman of MLB.com. He was lobbying to play in the second game of the doubleheader yesterday. That is so good to hear. But to John's point, with a young stallion like Ronald Acuna Jr., you got to save him from himself. You have to be – because they don't have the wisdom, okay? They don't have the wisdom of an Anthopoulos or a Snicker. They just don't. They're young and talented and all that. They don't have the wisdom. So people that know what's better for them sometimes need to make that call. And so to me, I'm very optimistic and confident that he will be activated when first eligible to come off the disabled list. And they need Acuna to be Acuna. They don't need him limping around and dragging a leg. They need him to be able to fly and be full Ronald Acuna. And I think putting him on the DL is a cautious move that's going to get him back.
Braves right now still in first place, 31-22. They're a half game up on the Washington Nationals, who are now suddenly playing some good baseball. Gio Gonzalez, a nice game for them yesterday. He goes 7 shutout. Bryce Harper's starting to hit the ball again. I think that ultimately will be their biggest competition. I think Philly's going to be a team that maybe eventually piddles out a little bit, but I think the Nationals and the Braves are going to be fighting this thing out tooth and nail down the stretch.
Anthony Rendon, he hit a 3-run jack yesterday. He's starting to come around. He's had an injury-plagued year. Daniel Murphy, microfracture surgery, is on the mend. You've got Ryan Zimmerman. I read about him. He's about a week or so away from coming back. You've added a Mark Reynolds, the slugger from Colorado. He's helping them out. Of course, they have former Brave Matt Adams, who's helping them out a lot and doing his thing, you know, 0-for-4 and then hitting home runs and doing that thing. Their offense is loaded, dude. Mm-hmm. Eventually, when they get healthy and when they get right, they're going to make a hard charge of this division. There's no question about that. They've got big aces in Strasburg and in Scherzer. Gio Gonzalez having a fantastic year. So they've got three big boys in that rotation. They're going to be a formidable threat, dude.
Here's what's impressive about the Braves, and you mentioned this earlier. The fact that Newcomb got roughed up a little bit on Saturday. They didn't get the job done with Julio Teheran in Game 1 in Boston. And then Folty suddenly pitching like a number one. So the good thing is you've had three different guys that have at different times of this year. And Newcomb 4-0 with a .36 ERA. In his last four starts before the game against Boston, really good out of him. Folty pitches a great gem. That gives you hope that maybe you can string together another nice little streak because you have three guys at the top of the rotation, and McCarthy didn't pitch horrible yesterday either.
It was hit and miss from McCarthy. He wasn't terrible, but he didn't necessarily. It was just one of those weird McCarthy starts. Kept us in the game, certainly. Yep. And then it got, I mean, Minter got exploded last night.
He has not pitched well in the last couple of weeks, A.J. Minter. It's been more miss than hit as it was early on in the year.
That might be just the ebb and flow of a baseball season. I don't think. Think about the Arizona Diamondbacks, bro. They lost like 13 out of 14. Mm-hmm. At one point this season, they were like 12, 13 games over 500. They couldn't lose, and now they can't win, although they got a big win against Cincinnati yesterday. But on our Braves, man, do we have a left on base problem? Yesterday, I watched a ton of Braves baseball, watched the majority of that first game. I watched the nightcap. I was bouncing back and forth between the basketball game and then watched it after that. John, I probably watched the game till about 12:15 a.m. And I looked at my – because it's just a baseball game, right? It's Braves, Eastern time zone. I looked at my phone. I'm like, it's 12:15. I got to go to bed for the love of baseball. So but last night, John – the LOBs, I think we left 10 on base in the nightcap last night. There were all kinds of rallies. Bases loaded, nobody out, right? And that first, couldn't get anybody home. And then when we tied the game, it was the sac fly, I want to say, by Markakis. Mm-hmm. And what'd we have? Bases loaded, nobody out there, or bases loaded, one out, something like that. And we only got one run to tie the game. So do we have an LOB problem with our Braves right now?
That was always the fear with this team coming into the year, who was going to be the RBI guys. Now, Freddie's obviously doing his thing, and he's hitting over 300. Ozzie Albies has surprisingly been an RBI guy even at the top of the lineup. But Markakis has had an unbelievable season, but do you think that's going to stay the entire year? And then you get to the bottom. Dansby's ice cold. Average down to .267. Camargo can't hit his way out of a wet paper bag right now. And now you obviously lose Acuna the last couple of days. I think, again, to go to the ebb and flow of the baseball season, it's just part of it. They seemingly drove in every run early in the season. They've had some moments where they've left some guys on base recently.
And maybe the situations were so pronounced yesterday in terms of, right, base loaded, nobody out, and you don't get anybody home. There were 7 men left on base in the first game yesterday. That's actually a reasonable number. When you start to get to double digits in the left on base, that's when it's a problem. But at least for one day, John, I kind of diagnosed a lack of timely hitting. Mm-hmm. And obviously Charlie Culberson was very timely with his crush to win us that game. But had we gotten some timely hits in the nightcap, I think that result would have been different. I think we could have swept that doubleheader.
You asked who is our favorite fifth starter. I'm going with Mike, Luis, Max, Fried, Gohara, Soroka.
You forgot Anibal somewhere in there.
Yeah, I'm not worried about him. He's injured.
So the reason I bring this up, Anibal Sanchez is rocking the mound tonight. We had Fried, of course, getting this sort of random spot start when you have a doubleheader scenario in the McCarthy last night. So who is your favorite fifth starter? We've had, I thought I saw the tweet, 9 different starters this year with Freed's start yesterday.
And he pitched well yesterday.
He did. Too. Didn't Lucas Sims get a start? I want to say Lucas Sims.
He has
not gotten a start. Mm-hmm. So it's the main four. It's Gohara. It's Soroka. It's Anibal Sanchez. It's Max Fried. And I think I'm forgetting one guy that's maybe gotten a start. Oh, God, it's racking my brain. If I didn't say Gohara, that's the guy. Luis Gohara is the guy that intrigues me. Now, when he comes back from bereavement leave, John, I think he's going to come back and be out of the bullpen. But he's the guy, like I said after his start, I want to see more of Luis Gohara in that. I just want to see more of him as a starting pitcher. They got to stretch him out a little bit and get him more from 70, 80 pitches to 90, 100, mm-hmm. where he can go, you know, deeper into the game. But Luis Gohara would be my choice.
See, me, it's Mike Soroka. I think Gohara, to go to Anthopoulos, what he has said before, I think you let Luis Gohara come out of the bullpen. Let him be a longer reliever right now. Soroka, to me, and I know he hasn't pitched as well, and I think part of that had to do with the injury and why he's on the 10-day DL. Let him get out there. Let him get 4 or 5 starts in a row, healthy, and let's see what Mike Soroka can do.
Anibal Sanchez, let's go. He was starting to get it cooking.
Did you pick him up?
No. I can't really. My team is kind of, he's talking fantasy baseball now. My team is at one of those spots where I've got Clevenger going today for Cleveland. If he gets rocked again, I'm cutting him, and I'm going to do the streamer thing. But I got to ride with him today. So I'm not picking up Anibal Sanchez. Are you?
No. I have no need for that.
He may mow down the Mets tonight,
yeah,
John.
Yeah, that's fine. I got Blake Snell and somebody else going tonight.
All right, some
maybe
random
Dallas,
pitcher.
Dallas Keuchel or
your
something.
Your boy.
Keuchel's a baller.
But he is. And he's a free agent.
Yeah.
He'd look good in a Braves uniform next year. Alex Anthopoulos, just saying. That's what we do. We just make kind, humble, gentle suggestions here on the Midday Show with Rick and John.
Mark Owens, how much sleep did you get last night?
4 hours. Four and a half hours. Not bad. On. Dude, I'm doing great. We're fine. Here's what's fun on these doubleheaders, or not even the doubleheaders, when the game goes past midnight. Baseball after dark is fun at SunTrust Park because you get the woo birds coming out, all the Ric Flair woos.
Yeah.
People were trying, by the end of the game, by about 1 a.m., let's just say there wasn't a ton of fans still in the stands.
No.
But they're trying to start the wave. God bless them for trying. And then it's just quiet enough that you can hear each individual fan heckling the Mets. And every now and then a fan will get off a good line, and another section will start laughing.
That's
and,
awesome.
And you're weird.
And you're hearing this from dead center field.
Yes, I'm dead center field right beside the big drum.
And you're hearing, like, people in the lower bowl.
Because it's quiet. It's just quiet. And you can hear the crack of the bat and the ball hit the mitt. And it's fun. Baseball after midnight is a fun experience. Sleeping is overrated. But kudos. Look, I've said it before. I'll say it again. You know, the battery is something that people really appreciated yesterday because after that first game, since it was a day-night doubleheader, they had to kick everybody out and reset for game number two. And I'd say 60% of the crowd went out into the battery, got a beer, got a burger, got a pizza, hung out, got their tickets ready, and came right back in.
Nice.
It was a fun day. It was a fun day. Tired, but fun day. No complaints.
Mark made $14,000 yesterday alone.
Super quick. Did the Braves mount? I went to bed about the sixth inning or whatever it was. Did the Braves mount any kind of a rally, or did they go out with a whimper in those closing innings?
Closing innings, it kind of fell apart on
us. All right.
Yeah. Take a break.
We still love them.
College football cheat sheet next. What's going on at the SEC meetings? The AJC had something interesting to say about what they should do. It's coming up next. And Georgia loses a QB as well on Sports Radio 92.9. The game.
Rick and John have the latest news from college football and want to hear from you. 404-741-0929. This is the College Football Cheat Sheet on Sports Radio 92.9. The game.
And the College Football Cheat Sheet is brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC Tune-Up. Another way to make you smile at rsandrews.com. We're in the Kia Studios, your boys, Rick and John, throwing our midday party, and we're talking dogs here and SEC meetings in Destin. There's an article on Good Day UGA about Stetson Bennett transferring out of Georgia because he wants to play. And I'm going to try to take, because this article is trying to sell me and everybody on how big of a deal this is. I am going to try to play devil's advocate and sell John Michaels on how big of a deal it is.
Okay, go
for
it.
That the Dogs now kind of sort of don't have a third quarterback. So we'll swing on that somewhat sarcastically in a minute.
Now, seriously, here's where it becomes a big deal. Reps. in practice. You know, they always talk about guys getting dead arms, and it doesn't normally happen in college football. But now it's going to be Jake Fromm, Justin Fields, go. That's it. Now, I'm sure they'll find a walk-on somewhere that'll come in and throw some of the reps. But Stetson Bennett was that guy to be able to go in there and do practice squad stuff, practice team, where you simulate the other team and stuff like that. So it is, to a point, a big deal.
So let's get into the SEC meetings, and I'll sell you on this a little bit more in a minute.
So the SEC meetings are underway, and Dennis Dodd and the AJC both have some good articles about things that are going to be discussed there. The biggest one this week is going to be transfer issues. Now, there are a lot of people that get upset that players will want to transfer. They're already being punished because they have to sit out a year if they're not a graduate transfer. And then they have to ask permission basically from the school or the coach as to where they want to go. Apparently the SEC working on a model and is expected to vote on a proposal that would allow athletes to transfer from one SEC school to another if the originating school imposes or is penalized with a postseason ban. So it's not going to be a complete free-for-all, but it would be more of an Ole Miss rule. So an Ole Miss guy, they've got a postseason ban, they want to transfer. Ole Miss then would no longer be able to stop them from going to an SEC school.
So not out of the SEC, but within the SEC.
Right.
And Nick Saban is going to hate this rule.
Well, if he doesn't have a guy, if they're not on probation, it's not going to apply to them.
But he's not going to, well, then if he's consistent, he's not going to like it.
Right.
Because, and no, I can't see Nick Saban. And again, to your point, it doesn't apply to his school.
Mm-hmm.
Because his school, well, the Alabama Crimson Tide do have ambitious boosters. I will say that. But the posse hasn't quite caught up to them. And
yeah.
And for you Alabama fans, hopefully they never do. I'm a fan of that.
Mm-hmm.
But Ole Miss obviously was super irresponsible about it and really dumb about it, and that's why they got busted. But this is the Ole Miss rule. But Nick Saban isn't going to like this at all. Or maybe he will now, John, because if Tennessee falls, you know, in trouble, their players may be looking at Alabama. So I don't know. But it just seems to me like this would be a rule that Nick Saban would not like.
There was also talk that the SEC, as well as other conferences, could potentially pass this GPA-based transfer policy. Now, it looks like the SEC, that's probably not going to happen. But that would be where people could transfer and be immediately eligible to play if their GPA is at a certain level.
Hmm. I mean, that's fine. I mean, they want to sort of breathe life into the student-athlete mm-hmm. part of it, whereas cynics like you and me are like, yeah, right, pay these dudes. Pay these, you know, ladies and young ladies who are playing college ball. But, all right, tell me more on that.
Yeah, this is a scenario where the committee would put forth two academic grade point average benchmarks, 3 and 3.3 for your GPA. Whichever benchmark would eventually be chosen, if met, would allow transfers and compete right away. So this would, if ever passed, open up the Pandora's box. If a kid's a 3-3 athlete and just say that's the benchmark they use, and he decides, hey, I'm transferring from Alabama and I want to go play at Auburn.
Yeah.
I don't think this gets passed anytime soon.
It might not. I don't mind this. And again, trying to breathe life into the student athlete thing. So, you know, give a little incentive, a little reward if you do keep your grades up. And mm-hmm. if you are a legitimate student athlete, I kind of like that rule.
They also may have to talk about gambling. Obviously, with gambling, sports betting being legal. They're talking about now Mississippi seems to be on its way to becoming the first SEC state to legalize single sports game betting. How do you handle that now? That's a question that I think the SEC and the NCAA hasn't wanted to have to approach because it wasn't legal in places other than Vegas. But how do you handle it now if you're in a state where you can walk over and make a wager?
Well, I mean, it's the wild, wild west. There's not like a cop waiting on a corner to mm-hmm. bust this. If there's any criminal activity to be had, it will occur.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not done the right way, then the lid will be blown on it. And the whistle will be blown and people will be in trouble and it'll be a huge controversy.
But do you worry at all?
Me personally, no. Now, if we come here to work on a Monday or, you know, over the weekend, we see a huge story blowing up, we'll mm-hmm. talk about it. But I like that a lot of states are going to hit the switch on legalizing sports gambling. But there are going to be some eggs broken in this process, John.
Here's the thing. When I look at sports gambling, it's not going to affect the NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball. Those guys make way too much money to throw a game for a $50,000 handshake or a $10,000 handshake. The places where I do worry is college basketball and college football, where this could come into play. Imagine you're a kid, and I just use Ole Miss as an example because Mississippi's the state being discussed. You're a kid at Ole Miss, and you guys are, I don't know, 6-4, and you got a game coming up, and all of a sudden a bookie walks up to you and goes, all right, I got 20 grand if you mess up this game.
Well, then how about we send more of the revenues from games and TVs and selling jerseys to the kids?
And then you de-incentivize
them to taking some dirty money. Now, let me sell you on the importance of Stetson Bennett. Let me sell you on the importance.
Stetson Bennett, when we wear Wrangler jeans, you'll smell great.
I got to be honest. I didn't know who he was till the G-Day game, and I saw him lob a spiral down the far right sideline, complete first down, Georgia. But he has been lauded for his work with the scout team last year. Kind of mimicking Auburn's Jarrett Stidham, Missouri's Drew Locke, Alabama's Jalen Hurts. And it says here that – I'm trying to read this, John. There's a – hold on a second. There's a glare on my screen that made it difficult. Now I can read it. And this – again, shout-out to Dog Nation. They do a great job. But defensive coordinator Mel Tucker called Stetson Bennett a beast, and Roquan Smith called him phenomenal. Like, there's praise, and then there's a beast and phenomenal. So have I sold you that it's important that the Dogs have lost their third-string quarterback?
When you forget to buy Dad cologne, Stetson Bennett. When you don't want to be third string, Stetson Bennett cologne is for you. Doesn't that sound like a cheesy cologne?
Totally. Yeah. Sex Panther.
Yeah, you did not
sell. I didn't sell you, did I?
How about me selling you on the 92.9 The Game and Grady Jarrett Celebrity Golf Classic Wednesday, June the 6th. Target Golf, Top Golf Midtown. That's right. Even if you stink, you can still score. Got to go to the event page right now, 92.9thegame.com, to register. A few spots still available. Grady Jarrett, Brian Jordan, Muhammad Sanu, Tack McKinley, Vic Beasley, many more are going to be there. Register right now. We take a break. We come back. When we get back, we go around the 404. Julio speaks, and we're all happy. That's next.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.